Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
This morning, I want to just share, as we're continuing our series, Who is This Man? And talk a little bit about a quote. Yale historian Yaroslav Pelikan once wrote this. Yes, his last name was Pelikan. Can you imagine that? He once wrote this: regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth... Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. If it were possible with some of sort of super magnet, so I actually created this with AI. Isn't AI great sometimes? Maybe not. Okay. But I created that there, but to kind of illustrate, if a super magnet was to pull out of history every scrap of metal bearing at least one trace of his name, how much would be left? How much would be left? The reality is the impact of who Jesus was and the impact that Jesus has had on our culture and in the world is immense. In fact, much of what we accept bears the mark whether we're aware of it or not. Think about it. Our calendars are based on his life, right? Hospitals and charities and schools were started because of his teaching. More songs have been written about Jesus than anyone else in history. And whether you believe it or not, Jesus has changed the world, friends. Jesus has changed the world. Yeah. Yeah. So we're asking the question that's been asked for over 2,000 years. And that question is simply this that we're exploring on Sundays. Who is this man who has had such a deep impact over everything within our world and our culture? Who is this man? Last week, we talked about Jesus having the authority to forgive sin and heal sickness and disease, and then prove that he was able to forgive sins by healing a paralyzed man. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that message if you haven't. Soon after that event, Jesus' ability to forgive was then put to the test again. Because if Jesus can forgive and change the lives of the greatest sinners, how many know then he can change the life and forgive anyone? Right? Anyone. Yeah. So today we're going to continue in the book of Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2 again. So if you have a copy of God's word, you can open it up. And I need all the kids. We're all the kids in the room. I need your help. All right, all the kids, I'm going to need your help right now with this. Have you, let me ask you, have you ever gone somewhere, maybe you've gone to the lunchroom at school, or maybe you've gone somewhere, and you went to sit down, and somebody said, no, you can't sit here, this seat is taken. Anybody ever had that happen to them before? Yeah, how about the adults in the room? Have you had that happen? This seat is taken. You're like, oh, that seat's taken. Oh, I'm sorry, that seat's taken. Maybe that's at school, the lunch, maybe it's the playground. And it doesn't feel good, right, when somebody says you're not allowed to sit there. What kinds of people, kids, help me out, what kinds of people may you say, no, you can't sit in this seat? What kinds of people? What kind of people? Go ahead, shout it out for me. Bullies, cheating. I'm hearing them. Maybe not so well. Strangers. Yeah, maybe somebody, somebody who's not so nice, maybe somebody who's mean. It could be somebody who smells very good, even though that's not, right? But in Jesus' time, I'm going to say there was one person that nobody wanted to give a seat to during Jesus' time. There was one person nobody wanted to give a seat to. We're going to read about it. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Let me see if you can figure out who nobody wanted to give a seat to. It says this: then Jesus went out to the lakeshore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Who do you think nobody wanted to give a seat to? The tax collectors, right? and we're in tax season, how many of adults are like, nope, I don't want to give the tax collector a seat at my table either, right? Nobody wanted to give a seat to the tax collector. Why? Because they worked for the government of Rome. And if you were an Israelite, Rome was the big bully. Rome was the bully. Rome was mean. Rome took taxes from you that were high and you couldn't afford it, and they just taxed you heavy. And on top of that, if you were a tax collector and you were a Jewish person who was a tax collector from Rome, you were considered a traitor to your country and a traitor to the people that you were with. In fact, the tax collectors, in order to make some money for themselves, not only would Rome's high taxes would they collect, but they would collect more on top of it. How many think that is boo? Right? That's bad. Boo. So nobody wanted to hang out with the tax collectors. And they said the tax collectors cannot be people that God would be happy with, right? Not even God would want to hang out with the tax collectors. You can't sit here. But one day, Jesus walked up, and he saw this man, Levi, at the tax collector's booth, and he did something that people were not willing to do, that other people were not willing to do. Look at verse 14 again. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. And he said to him, "Follow me and be my disciple." Can you imagine that? Follow me and be my disciple. Who did he ask to be his disciple? Levi, the tax collector. Instead of saying, "You don't belong here," Jesus basically said, "Hey, Levi, pull up a chair and have a seat at my table. Pull up a chair and have a seat at my table." This is who Jesus was. This is what Jesus did. Why do you think he would do that for Levi? Why would Jesus do that for Levi? Because Jesus... And here's what we're going to learn today. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Can you say that with me? Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Folks, I just want you to know three important traits today. When we ask the question, who is this man? Today, we're going to discover Jesus is a friend of sinners. Why? What are the three traits we learn about Jesus? One, Jesus chooses people nobody else would. Jesus chooses people nobody else would. When other people would say, "Nope, I'm sorry, Levi, this seat is taken. I'm sorry, tax collector, this seat is taken. You can't sit here." Jesus says, "Hey, Levi, have a seat at my table. Levi, have a seat at my table." The invitation to Levi shocked everybody, to the Jewish community, especially the religious leaders and the teachers of the day. That was not something you would do. The tax collectors were not holy people. Why would you invite them to be a disciple? If that's the case, you can't be our Messiah. You can't even be a good rabbi or a good teacher. When you ask somebody like Levi, a traitor and a sinner, to follow you and be your disciple. But Jesus invites Levi, or his other name that we know him by is Matthew. How many have heard of Matthew? Yeah. He invites Matthew. And Matthew, Levi, accepts the invitation. It says that Levi got up and followed him. He accepted Jesus' invitation. And not only that, but anybody like parties? Because we're going to party after the service today with popcorn, right? If you like parties, guess what? Levi liked parties. So Levi decided to throw a party and invite Jesus to come with all of his friends and meet all of his friends. Mark chapter 2, 15 through 17. So when Jesus gave Levi a seat and invited them, Levi invited Jesus. And it says later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Ooh. And then it says this, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. That'll tell you something. But when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the tax collectors and other sinners, they asked the disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" Ooh. Why does he eat with such scum? Isn't that harsh? Other translations don't use the word scum. They say tax collectors and sinners. So there's sinners, and then the tax collectors had their own bracket right over here, right? They had their own category. There were sinners, and then there were tax collectors. Who is this man? In a sense, that's what they were asking. Who is this man who associates with such sketchy and sinful people? In fact, the reputation that Jesus developed, as we said, was what? What was the reputation Jesus was? He was a friend of sinners. Help me out. He was a friend of sinners. I'm trying to keep you all awake and engaged here this morning. Why do they conclude that? Because Jesus welcomed people who were far from God. Jesus was comfortable with people that were deemed as Satan's people, or people who were not good people, people who did bad things. And ultimately, he was, as the religious leaders sat up there on their sanctimonious perch, as they sat up there, holy, 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 look, we're Jesus, look who you're hanging out. We won't want to be around those people. Then Jesus, you can't possibly be the Messiah if you will lower a standard of righteousness for people who will follow you. In fact, this was a pattern throughout Jesus' ministry. Do you know that Jesus oftentimes hung out with sinners? Luke chapter 7, he was invited to the home of another religious leader, a Pharisee, for dinner. And when then something expected happened, Luke 7, 37 to 39, when a certain immoral woman from a city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She knelt down at his feet. She wiped off her feet with his hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Ooh, wow. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to Jesus, if this man were a prophet, who is this man, right? If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him, for she is a sinner. She's a sinner. He would know. Who is this man? If he were really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. Jesus knew. How many know Jesus knows? But Jesus is what? He is a friend of sinners. He's a friend of sinners. And he could see that her heart was one of repentance and one who was just looking to be loved. And he offered her a seat at the table. That includes many people who don't deserve it, right? Jesus chooses people we don't often deserve to demonstrate his love and mercy. How many of you here in this room would say, that was me? Jesus is a friend of sinners, and that was me. He invited me to the table. Come on now. Come on. He invited me to the table, right? Yeah. Romans 5:8 tells us this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet what? Sinners, while we were yet sinners. John Bloom writes this, the only thing that qualifies us to be followers of Jesus is that we were sinners who need grace. How many of you are sinners who need grace? Right? Come on. Sinners are the only people Jesus calls, and the apostle Levi, that is Matthew, discovered that. Why else does Jesus choose Levi? Why else does he choose him? Because Jesus, again, is a friend of sinners. And secondly, because Jesus sees what others cannot. How many know Jesus looks and he sees what others cannot? While others look at the outward appearance, how many know the scripture says he looks at what? The heart. And he saw something in Levi, something about Levi's family history. You might know that his gospel was gone by the name of Matthew, but his given name was Levi. Levi was a very Jewish name. Matthew means gift of God, but Levi was a Jewish name that his parents probably gave him because they had high hopes of what he would become. And it certainly wasn't a tax collector, but somewhere along the line, he became disenfranchised with his parents' religion. He became disenfranchised a little bit with what was going on and what he saw. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to find a way to make a living for myself. Maybe he saw the way the Pharisees handled things and he didn't like the way they handled things. For whatever reason it was, somehow he kind of got disenfranchised with it. And Matthew 9:9, his own account, this is Levi's own account, Matthew's own account, when he wrote the Gospel of Matthew, as he was walking along, he says this, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said. So Matthew got up and followed him. It seems like the same thing, but the difference is that Matthew doesn't use the name Levi. He uses the name Matthew. Matthew. Why? Why does he use Matthew, gift of God? Because something when Jesus invited him changed in him. Matthew's account represents a redeeming quality that Jesus can bring to a life because Jesus sees the potential in us that we cannot see. All the religious training of the Old Testament, Jesus said, I'm going to redeem that, Levi. I'm going to redeem that in you. You're a gift of God. I'm going to redeem that in you. Do you know that when Matthew wrote his gospel, after years of being with Jesus Christ and facing fierce persecution, he's the only one that his audience of when he wrote his gospel, his audience is the Jewish people. He's the only one where the primary audience of his gospel is to the Jewish people. Matthew showed a deep interest throughout his gospel in the priestly and scribal functions of his class. His gospel, more than other, focuses on how Jesus did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but rather to be a fulfillment of them. That's really important. His genealogy details all kinds of details going all the way back from David to Abraham and the beginning, and includes all kinds of people just like Matthew was, a friend of sinners. He includes Rahab, and he includes Tamar, and he includes Bathsheba, and he doesn't hide anything. Why? Because he wants the people to know, just like he was kind of disenfranchised, he wants his people to know Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and Jesus can change your life. Jesus can change your life. He had fierce denunciations of the Pharisees and the prophecies of the temple, mostly recorded in his gospel. Jesus also redeems Matthew's interest in money. How many know he's a tax collector, right? And the parable of the talents is only found in his account, along with many other beautiful passages about great riches. Herbert Lockyer notes this, that Matthew uses more words for money than any other gospel writer. How many know Jesus redeems us? He created us, and the things he's put in our heart, he redeems us and he uses our lives. He sees what we cannot. He sees what we cannot. You see, Jesus looks at Levi and everyone else and he says, I don't see a sinner. I see a future apostle. And can I tell you that in here, kids, there are some of you, I want you to know, Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life. He sees beyond some of the things you do that you say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. He knows when you get in trouble and you do things you shouldn't. But Jesus is a friend of sinner, and if you will come to Jesus and you will accept his invitation to follow, you will find that Jesus will do something amazing with your life. That Jesus has plans and purpose for your life. He sees promise in us. Let me go a step further. He sees past our failures and mistakes. And sometimes he can even say, you know what? I want you to be able to receive my love, because sometimes we question God's love for us, don't we? I think there are some adults in here, you look at your life and all the mistakes that you've made and you think, can Jesus possibly love me? Friends, I want you to know Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Oscar Wilde famously observed, the only difference between saints and sinners is every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Come on. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Come on. He's able to look past what others brush off in you and say, there's not a seat for you. But Jesus says, I've got a seat for you at my table. I've got a seat for you at my table. Third trait, last trait, and then we're going to have some popcorn together. Jesus' invitation is for everyone. He issues this challenge to Levi, follow me and be my disciple. Again, he saw beyond the exterior. He saw beyond the wavered and the disillusioned person that Levi had become. He saw beyond the outward appearance of wealth, and he issued a challenge that rocked him, follow me and be my disciple. And what was Levi's response? Somebody help me out. What did he do? He got up and followed. He left everything and followed. In fact, that's what Luke 5:28 says. So Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Literally everything. Can I tell you that Levi, among the disciples, gave up probably the most? You say everybody walked away, right? Didn't Peter and Andrew and James and John, they left their nets, right, and followed Jesus. They left their boat. They left their father's business. But guess what? they could always go back to fishing. In fact, after Jesus had resurrected from the dead and Peter had, you know, he was kind of, I'm not quite sure where I fit anymore because I denied Jesus. Guess where Jesus found them? He found them out fishing again. There was an opportunity they could go back, but Levi as a tax collector, guess what? When you got up and left your position from the tax collector's booth, there was no going back. Your boss who was over the tax collectors would say, oh, you don't want that position anymore? I got other people lined up. They're going to take it. You can never come back here again. When Levi got up and left, he got up and left everything to follow Jesus. He made a definitive break from his old life and said, my old life is gone. I'm going all in with Jesus. Friends, I want you to know that invitation is for you. Jesus is a friend of sinners, and he invites all of us as sinners to receive his grace and his mercy and his love and to follow him. And that means that there are some things that we think are valuable now, but when we see who Jesus is and the treasure of him, that we've got to leave behind in order to receive Jesus. Follow me. Follow me. Be my companion. Take a seat at my table, because I've come to forgive sinners and to give you new life. Well, friends, the shockwaves of this, man, they rattled the community. Everyone was posting it on their social media accounts. It was all over Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, I mean, somebody did a reel, and I mean, it was out there. And I mean, it was going viral, man. Who is this teacher that invites a sinner like Levi to follow him? And not only that, but man, Jesus is at this party and he's hanging out with these other tax collectors and these other disreputable sinners, and they're out there. And I mean, these folks are like, hey, Jesus, can we take a selfie with you? Right? We got to post this. There's no other teacher that wants to hang out with us. Come on, let's get a selfie with Jesus. And man, they are posting it. That's really not biblical. There was no social media back then. But I'm imagining if it was, I'm trying to bring it down to today. If it was today, you know, and the religious leaders are like, who is this man who's hanging out with these sinners and these scum, right? Who's hanging out with this scum? And they go to his disciples and they're like, what kind of teacher do you follow that hangs out, that invites and hangs out with people who are scum? What, who gives a seat at the table to these kinds of people? And here's Jesus' response. Listen to Jesus' response. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've not to come to call those who think they are righteous. Ooh, those who think they are righteous. But those who know they are sinners. Jesus invites people who know they need forgiveness and grace, who are willing to admit that I'm a sinner. Not people who think they are righteous. Well, I'm not really a sinner. I do a lot of good deeds. I do a lot of good things. You know, I come to church when I can, and I try to give where I can, and I try to serve where I can, and I try to help, and that's enough, right? That's enough. That's enough to get me into heaven. Can I tell you, your good works are not enough to get you into heaven? The only way we get into heaven is when we admit that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I've discovered that Jesus is a friend of sinners. And so here's the key. I've got to accept the invitation that when Jesus comes and says, follow me, guess what? I got to do what Levi did. I got to get up and follow him. Jesus' invitation is for all of us, but we got to make the decision of whether we're going to get up and follow him, whether we're going to follow him. Mark's account gives extra commentary we need to pay attention to. Levi invited Jesus, his disciples, to his home after dinner. Guests, many tax collectors, other disreputable sinners. And then in parentheses, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. You say, oh, what about me? Let me tell you something. Many of this kind were part of Jesus' followers. So guess what? If you say, I don't know if that means me, guess what? That means you. That means you. You can be a part of that. I'm a part of that. I'm a sinner who's been saved by grace. That's all. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Being a sinner is the only qualification for joining Jesus' disciple band. Worship team, will you come? Jesus had to come and invite those who were sinners to come follow him. The question that we ask in this sermon series is, who is this man? He's the one who calls sinners. He's the one that changes lives. He's the one who sees our future. And he's the one who invites us to follow. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And that means, friends, there's a place at the table for you. So let's bow our heads this morning, if we can, while we're in here. Kids, we're going to pray. And I just want to ask you a question today. Are you someone that you would say, you know, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a savior. I need forgiveness. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, I recognize I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a savior, and you have not invited Jesus into your life, you've not asked him to forgive you of your sins today, I want you to know Jesus wants to be your friend because he's a friend of sinners. And he invites you just like he did Levi, and he says, come follow me. And today, if you would like to say, you know what, I want to do what Levi did. I want to do what Levi did. I want to say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. I will follow you. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. And I accept your invitation to be your disciple. I want to follow you. If that's you, and you want to pray today to receive Jesus into your life and to be his disciple, will you slip up your hand today? Will you let me pray with you today before you leave? I need to be following Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be his disciple. Yeah, let's pray together. And those of you that raised your hands, if you didn't, but you want to say, you want to pray, the Lord is just moving in your heart, pray with me. Pray with me today. If you believe in your heart that he raised Christ from the dead, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Scripture says, you'll be saved. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, you. Yes, you. Let's do that together. Dear Jesus, thank you today that you love me, a sinner, and that you offer me mercy and grace that I don't deserve. Today, I accept your invitation to follow you and to be your disciple. I ask you to forgive me of my sin today and to cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. Come into my heart and make me new. I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.